December 20th, 2022, 12:38 and now 12:39 hours, Ward Green here, with an unboxing, with a fairly sizable box here. Let's see if I can pick it up without breaking my back. Here it is. It's kind of heavy, actually, fairly heavy. Yeah, it keeps coming to light all the time. When people, I mean, this coffee thing, you know, people who promote their coffee because they know if they don't promote their coffee, then they're going to be in trouble because, in other words, it's making them stumble, you know. Jesus said, if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off. It's better to be one-handed and go into the kingdom of God with one hand than to be dead or to go into Gehenna, you know, to be destroyed and have two hands. So the idea that, you know, that you need something. I just realized after hearing somebody mention coffee today, I just realized, you know, I'm not addicted to anything. I'm actually not addicted to anything because if I ever do get, and I mean, both because and also, in the present and the future, and the past, I guess too. But whenever I get addicted to anything, I stop that entirely. Like I completely cut it off. I learned finally after a long stretch of trouble or whatever you want to call it, a long stretch of doing it wrong, I finally realized at some point in my life that I should live that way. You know, it's been gradual, I guess, as I've learned more and more. But you need to learn to cut things off when they become necessary for you. If you need it, then you have to cut it off because it's an addiction. And if it's an addiction, then you have to stop so that it doesn't have any control or any power over you. Because otherwise, your addiction will have more power over you than Jehovah, than the kingdom, than the God of life. You know, the only way that God can have power in your life is if nothing else creeps in there like an addiction. Because the thing is about God is this: the reason he demands exclusive devotion is because it's very easy to drive God out of your life with the very smallest thing that's wrong. If you have that addiction or that small, you know, thing that is directly against Jehovah, anything that's directly against Jehovah, like a substance addiction, right? But anything. It could be a substance addiction, but it could be many other things. But generally, it's probably addictions that are the thing. I wonder if that's true, if it's always addictions, or if it's because it's got to be something you habitually do in order to drive Jehovah out of your life. Because if it's just something that you're not really in control of, then he's not going to leave you because of it. Whereas if you're the one who's deciding that you're going to do something, even though you know it's an addiction and it's not good for you, like coffee, for example, it can't be good for you if it's an addiction. If you know you need it, then it's wrong. You know that it's just, you're doing it for the caffeine, then that's a substance abuse. It's wrong. I take matcha tea. If you've never tried matcha tea, you don't know what you're missing. But I mean, it's you can't be addicted to it because it doesn't have, you don't take matcha tea for the caffeine. It has all these other things in it. It's nutrition. Nobody can argue that coffee is nutrition. I know somebody who did argue that once, but his argument didn't hold in any water at all. I mean, it was nothing, right? There's no argument that coffee is nutrition. It's an addiction to caffeine, so it's unhealthy, like all drugs. I mean, if you can't give up coffee, then you're inviting all the other drugs into your life too. It's the wrong thing to do. It's substance abuse. It's wrong. It's stupid. To be point blank about it, it's stupid. It's just stupid. So anyway, and I've said this before. I said it to an ex-con in a bar after he offered to go outside and share, you know, his drugs in the form of marijuana, cigarette, you know, a joint, whatever you want to call it. And I said, you know, I said I didn't. I told him I didn't want to do it, first of all, and then he threatened to break a beer bottle over my head by saying, I could break this beer bottle over your head. And I said, drugs are stupid. That was my direct answer to that threat of him breaking a beer bottle over my head. And the other thing, there's another thing about this idea about people who brag about breaking the law. That's so stupid to my mind. That's stupid. They brag about concealing things from the police and about breaking the law. And they think that's clever. I don't care what they're doing. If you shouldn't brag about that, and that's nothing to brag about, and you shouldn't even be doing it. You shouldn't need to conceal things from the police. That's irrational. I mean, it's to claim that you're Christian and then be concealing things from the police. That's not Christian. Christians obey the law. So that's false also. That's a false religion thing. You don't hide things from the police. I mean, it's not necessary to, and you don't, you certainly don't gloat about it, or you don't brag about it later. Because Jehovah doesn't, he's not against the authorities. Jehovah puts the governments in place, and he puts the laws in place. So to brag about that is also wrong, and it's false religion. So, I mean, these things are so, they're so obviously wrong, you know? They're just so obviously wrong. Okay, so, and that's another addiction, right? They're addicted to the, people who are addicted to their literature, and so they have to smuggle it into a country or into a, into a place, a location, because it's against the law. If it's against the law, don't do it. Nothing could be simpler than that. If you want to be in harmony with God and, or, you know, move, you know, live in a different country, if you can't abide by the law, I mean, there's no excuse for that kind of behavior. But yet, apparently, it's, and these people are not good examples for other people either. You know, I mean, it's not, it doesn't send the right message. There are other ways to get a message across, to get it out, to publish things. There are other ways to publish things other than, you know, by writing. You can publish things by the spoken word, by your example, and by all sorts of things that are not the written message, right? I mean, by creating artworks. There are all sorts of ways to publish a message. I ordered Smart Wool socks. Here they are. These are very thin. They're not what I thought. And they're not at all what I thought. They're very long socks. I'm glad I only ordered one pair because they're very... But they're not like the Smart Wool that I'm wearing now, which are very heavy. They're very heavy. Very thick. Very thick. You know, the Smart Wool I'm wearing now, it's a very... compared to a standard type dress sock, but these Smart Wool are more like a dress sock or something. They're not heavy at all. Well, maybe they're thicker in the heel, though. They are thicker in the heel. They do have some weight. Anyway, we'll have to see. I guess I'll have to try them before I pass judgment, but this, I just can't. No. See, the thing is about the problem with all organized religion is that, in fact, the problem with all organizations, including religion, all organizations, the problem with it is that they have their own ways of doing things, their own regulations, or their own, they have their own ideas, their own guidebook, you know, their own book of rules and or guidelines or whatever, and they publish their own guidelines. Or they teach their own guidelines instead of teaching the Word of God, which is what Jesus said about the Pharisees. He said they have their own, they teach their own the tradition of men instead of the Word of God. That they violate the Word of God by teaching traditions as commands. You know, in other words, you have to follow the organization's guidelines, the organization's rules. That's what is being taught by organizations. Organizations violate by their very existence and the way that they perpetuate their existence, they violate the Word of God because they teach the organization guidelines instead of teaching the Word of God, because an organization can't exist without having guidelines. So these organizations, they're all false. It doesn't matter what they are. They're all false. Any organization, including religious organizations, all organized religions are false. That's the truth about it. And we need to teach that, and we need to learn it. We need to teach it. We need to learn it from studying the Bible, too, because the Bible makes that very clear. Talks about the world empire of false religion, calling it Babylon the Great, the harlot, the great harlot. Because these false religions prostitute themselves to all sorts of people in the world, to big business, to the governments, and so on. But of course, you know, it's possible. I mean, is it possible? Obviously, it's possible some are worse than others. We know that, right? But, I mean, the Catholic Church has been regarded as the great harlot. So, you know, as if the Catholic Church is the whole world empire of false religion, which is not really true, but it's still. But, I mean, all organized religions are guilty of this problem of violating the Word of God. That's the problem, because they teach their own organizational rules instead of the Word of God. You know, that's the problem. They can't survive as an organization if they only teach the Word of God, because they wouldn't be an organization, right? They wouldn't have any way to make to build any building complexes or anything, you know, to establish any publications or do anything if they didn't have their own organizational rules. So by necessity, they violate the Word of God, but so they shouldn't be in existence. That's what that says. They shouldn't be. I mean, they shouldn't be necessary. It shouldn't be necessary to do that. And it isn't necessary, especially not nowadays with the internet. Wow, I'm getting ranting. I can rant on that for a long time, but the thing is, no, the world empire of false religion that prostitutes herself, right, to the kings of the earth, and she does business with the big businesses, and she does business with the kings of the earth. That's the idea of the great harlot. So as long as you're not doing business with those two things, then as an organization, you're maybe not part of the great harlot, because you're not part of that type of behavior. However, you're violating the Word of God, because you're teaching traditions of men if you have an organization and you pass on the traditions of that organization. Like the Watchtower. The name of the publication, the Watchtower, it means it's on the watch. They're on the watch. They're watching. But then they try, that's fine, except it's wrong if you try to use the Watchtower as doctrine and say that this is presenting the doctrine of the truth. Because it can't be. It's just on the watch. It's not presenting doctrine of truth. So to try and present the Watchtower magazine as if it is presenting, you know, truth, that it's inviolable, inviolable. I mean, that it's infallible. You know, to say that all the Watchtower publications are always true. Of course, we know they do change from time to time what they're saying about what's true. They don't always stick to the same exact things. Sometimes they make amendments, but the thing is, but to do any of that, saying that it's truth in any form, is wrong, because it's called the Watchtower. It's watching for the truth. It's not asserting the truth itself. And if it did, it would be violating the Word of God, which says you can't do that. It's got to be the Word of God or nothing. You don't create doctrine outside the Word of God, or you're violating the idea that Jesus taught, that says that if you teach the command of man instead of the Word of God, then you're invalidating the Word of God. So anyway, well, look at this. Okay, so those were the socks, and then I got these canvases. I got canvases here. That's the other thing I got. We're going to have to measure these. It's 12-ounce duck canvas. Yeah. So that's what it's called. It's called a duck canvas. Yeah. It's decent. I don't know if it's very heavy compared to what I had already. Is it as heavy as what I had before? No. I think it's not. I think this is not as heavy as the canvas I already have. That's what I think. Yeah, I don't know how this will hold up, you know, under sunlight either, but it doesn't feel very heavy. Like it's, I think the one I had is significantly heavier. But maybe, you know, it's hard to say. I tore the one I had just the other day. It has to be fixed, but I might have to buy some more canvas, but this was not expensive, and I need something to block the snow. I figured out I'm going to block the snow in my I mean, I can do it without putting in a wall and door, because if I put a wall and door in, I mean, I could build a wall and door, but it has to be, you can't justify all the work of construction, design, construction, building, if it's not the right thing to do. And the problem in any case is making sure that your idea is a good one. Like, if I build a building, first of all, I need a building permit, but second of all, the reason why I need a building permit and the reason why I shouldn't build it is because it can modify the structure of the house in such a way that when the wind hits it, for example, it can put stresses on the house that weren't there before because of the new structure. The wind blowing on the new structure can put new stresses on the house and could cause things to behave differently and maybe fail. So the thing is, you don't want to build anything without proper consideration, and that would have to be all considered, and it would take months and months to figure it out. So it could be done, but you know, ideally you'd need a building permit too. So you have to have everything in place. So I'm not really interested in doing that if I can come up with another way of doing it. And the other way of doing it is to hang canvas. Instead of, I was using plastic temporarily, but that just gets blown in by the wind. You know, it just gets blown away by the wind. But canvas would not blow away easily. You can't have snow blowing in very easily with canvas hanging there. So canvas is the answer to the problem. But I don't have to use this new canvas. I can move the old canvas from the front of the carport and use that on the back. And this canvas can be now on the front. Maybe, if it fits. I have to find out whether it fits properly on the front, which is better on the front. You know, I can hang this on the back if I want, right? I could do either way. But whether this has grommets on the sides as well as on the... yeah, it does. Good. Yeah. Looks like it has grommets everywhere. Grommets all around. Grommets everywhere. That's what you need. You need grommets on the sides and the top and everything. You know, you need grommets here and there. Grommets here and grommets there. That's it. Okay, so... gotta go. I think that's it for this video. Well, that's one. I've unwrapped one of the canvases, but there's two more here. Two more, which I will have to unwrap. There's no point in opening them all on cam because they're supposed to be all the same. So, but I will have to check them out and make sure they're identical, right, and that they're all intact. But that's it. That's the unboxing. So. Now the issue is, you know, what am I going to do with these? Am I going to go and try to mount these? See, the spacing between the grommets will determine whether I can mount them right now or whether I have to make an adaptation to mount these. If the spacing of these grommets is, and it's unlikely to be the same as what I have. And if it's not the same as what I have, then I can't just mount them as they are. I like the way the grommet is inside the double stitched section, so it's not going to tear out very easily, right? It looks like. But this is not a very heavy canvas. I don't know if that's... It sounded pretty heavy, right? It was a... what did it call it? 12 weight? Yeah, it's a 12. 12 ounce. 12 ounce. Now, 12 ounce per square yard is what normally fabric is measured. Those are the units it's measured using, whereas leather, I learned just recently, is measured using ounces per square foot. So when it gives ounces for leather, like 3 or 4 ounce leather is per square foot, or 4 ounce leather would be per square foot, but 12 ounce cotton is, and it's a lot lighter than leather probably too, so that's per square yard. Sounds right to me, yeah. Sounds right, but anyway. But that's what fabric is supposed to be measured in, is ounces per square yard. Now they don't tell you that, they just say how many ounces. So 12 ounce fabric, you know. So I mean, when it comes back to religion, let's come back to coffee again. We got to end with talking about coffee again, because we started talking about coffee. This coffee obsession that people have, they're afraid to death that their coffee is going to be taken away from them, and that's why they have to keep talking about it all the time, and because they're afraid that somebody's going to speak about it before they do and say something bad about it, so they have to talk about it all the time to try to promote it. But the only reason why they'd be afraid someone's going to take it away from them is because they're addicted to it. It's an addiction. And addictions are things you need to eliminate from your life, because you can't have anything in place of God. And that's in place of God. Any addiction is in place of God. So, yeah, addiction, you've got to cut it off. Just like your left hand, if it offends you, or your right hand, if it offends you. Whichever one offends you, you've got to cut it off. Because it's going to be your demise, right? So you've got to eliminate anything that is obviously offending you. If you're afraid that you're going to lose it so badly that you have to promote it and try and force other people to do like you do and drink coffee, I mean, just imagine the impact this has on your children and on the young people, all the young children who are being impacted by this, you know, propaganda about coffee. It's more than nonsensical. It's completely bad. You know, it's completely death-dealing. It's death-dealing because it teaches the children that addictions are okay, and therefore all the drug addictions, they become susceptible to all of those things. And alcohol addiction, everything becomes a possibility for all those young people, because they're being taught wrongly with regards to coffee or anything else like that. But coffee is a prime example of this in the culture. It's not just our culture. We see it. It's big. It comes from South America, where the coffee's grown, so that's where it originates, that culture about coffee, right? And it's become prevalent. And but guess what also comes from South America? The drug cartels. Do you think there's any coincidence there? Anyway, this is Ward Green, 1302 hours, December 20th, 2022. Bye for now. Seek first the kingdom. I love you.